When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is the Greg Hill Show right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Shime and Fitzy filling in this morning for the crew. They are all on Christmas break. I believe Wiggy will be back next Monday. Courtney won't be back until the new year. Greg Curtis also won't be back until the new year. So it is me and Fitzy holding it down here on Christmas Eve morning. We've been doing the leads here. We got a great lead from Jackson about porn star and AI. Great business mentorship right there.
Yes, Merry Christmas.
Fitzy, excellent lead on the college football viewing and how it is the second most popular sport in the country. During your lead, Fitzy, I thought it was interesting. You had actually mentioned how the NFL will dominate on Christmas Day tomorrow on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And a day normally owned by the NBA, historically, the NFL has tried to move in on and has now sold those games to Netflix. And so my lead this morning is as follows. I swear to God, as we just said, the American public is ravenous for football content. If Netflix screws up my Christmas by not being able to buffer the NFL football games because it's live programming that they're not accustomed to doing, I'm going to lose my – I might throw my Christmas tree at my television. Like that,
there's
I might
zero chance. I think the Mike Tyson, Jake Paul
the test
fight
run?
Was the test run. They also had – 65 million live viewers on that, and
they're going to have
borderline global.
Yeah, they're going to have double that. It's Christmas, and that's what people do.
Everybody on the planet who is celebrating Christmas is going to have on the TV in the house football on in the background.
It's
going to
be a disaster.
It is like I am expecting the worst, but hoping for the best. I'm in that kind of spot. Like it was like the classic MJ line in the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies. Expect to be disappointed, and you're never disappointed. Like that's kind of where I'm at right now because of what happened specifically with the Tyson Paul fight. Like it's just, I mean, that was a disaster. And if that happens on Christmas Day, when half the country is going to be having football on in the background or watching football, I am going to lose my mind.
Isn't it crazy to think, by the way, you just watched the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Texans on Saturday afternoon, and the Chiefs are playing tomorrow?
It's insane. So it's crazy. Since last Thursday night, we had Chargers-Broncos. Since then, and until Wednesday, January 1st, New Year's Day, we will go no more than a single day without NFL football.
That's right.
There was a game Thursday, no game Friday, game Saturday, Sunday, Monday, nothing today on Christmas Eve, of course.
Which is killing me, by the way, because I need...
I know, I want it. And then you get two games on Christmas Day. You get a game on Thursday night still, the Seahawks and the Bears. And then you're getting three games on Saturday and still games on Sunday. I ask you, and I think we kind of answered this in the previous segment, but I ask you anyways, is it oversaturation or do you want more?
I can't get enough.
Right?
I can't get enough. If the NFL were to introduce Tuesday Night Football on the regular and they were to gift it to Netflix or they were to gift it to Apple TV+, whomever, I'd be fine with that. I remember during the pandemic as well, when there were all sorts of COVID protocol issues that necessitated a Ravens-Steelers game on a Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Do you know what I did?
Remember that.
Didn't miss a snap. Didn't miss a snap. I couldn't get it. It has replaced all other sports as my companion sport. I can leave it. I can watch it. Now, thanks to, here's another unsung hero of the year, or a tease out of it as well. Streaming television, as people grouse about, like, I can't believe YouTube TV went from $72.99 to $82.99. You know what? Because of these streamers, you now can have your cable television with you. I can go upstairs, do my dad work, and then go take a shower, then go downstairs and make dinner, go outside, bag up leaves, and I will never miss a single play of a game because I can go from laptop to television to phone, always with whatever I want to watch on quote-unquote cable TV with me, and it's never more than 2 feet away, and I'm never out of range. It's just the best in the world.
It's amazing. And like in working in the Boston market, in the Boston radio sports market in particular, like I have to sit down and watch the Patriots game. But that doesn't preclude me from seeing other games. Because you know what I can do? Whip out the laptop, whip out the iPad, toss on Red Zone on that smaller screen, put it right there on my lap or next to me on the couch, and I got the Pats game up on the big TV. And then like, oh, I want to go check in particular on the Buffalo game. All right, out of Red Zone, let's go check on the Buffalo game real quick, see how Josh Allen's popping off. Like, it's so accessible and easy to get. It's like, it's amazing. The only thing I think that can even come close is like the beginning of March Madness. And that's it.
It still doesn't hit the same.
It hits in a different way, but not even close to the same high that football does. Like, it is wild to me the popularity and success of the sport of football. It's insane.
Last night's game was an absolute ass whipping. It was 34-0. I guarantee you, even though Monday Night Football, and I think at the end of the year, Sunday Night Football is going to win in terms of ratings as well as the quality of gameplay.
Yep.
Thursday Night Football has had a much better run of games this year.
They've had such a great product this year.
They've had a great run this year.
I mean, even last Thursday's game, that Broncos-Chargers game was a good football game. I mean, the Broncos were up 21-10 at halftime, I believe, and the Chargers end up winning the football game.
34-27.
Like, that's a great game.
Yeah, it was.
And I mean, you're looking through all those Thursday night games we got. We got the crazy Falcons-Buccaneers game. We got the Ravens-Bengals, which came down to a two-point conversion. Like, we've gotten Commanders and Eagles, I believe, was a Thursday night game. Like, we've gotten so many great Thursday night performances. I feel like the Sunday and Monday night performances have been kind of hit or miss. Like, we'll get that one crazy Jameis versus the Broncos game, but then we'll get a game like last night where it's, you know, Packers shut out the Saints 34-0.
Right. Total beatdown, but yet still massive ratings expected.
Oh yeah. Bruins game, I would have been.
And
watching.
I'm not paid for this. I'm not an influencer. I'm not an ad representer for them on our network or our affiliates at Odyssey or Boston WEEI. However, if YouTube TV feels like they want to advertise, go right ahead. I will happily be your spokesman. Multiview. Oh,
it's the
God.
Best thing in the world.
Multiview is amazing.
It's so good.
You can just toggle between whatever audio you want, 2, 3, and 4 sporting events on at the same time.
You don't
time.
Even need to buy Sunday ticket.
No.
That's the beauty of it. If you have YouTube TV, which they just raised their prices, wasn't happy, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. You can just go in, oh, we got 2 Saturday games on. Oh, college football and NFL football on. College football playoff and Steelers Ravens. I can have both of them on at the same time. You bet your bottom dollar I'm going to do that.
Yeah, I have bad news to whoever is having New Year's parties throughout the region. If you're as much of a football fan as I am, and I know you are, I am way more interested in popping off a bottle and making a really nice food and watching college football at home on New Year's Eve than I am engaging in small talk about the year and what kind of resolutions I have for the upcoming year neighbors and friends. Sorry, just way more interested.
Tell them. I think my plan is I'm going to try and find a nice restaurant that's open. We'll have a dinner, my girlfriend and I, and then other than that, it is just all football all day. Like,
you're
I
thinking
don't
about
care.
You want to, like, New Year's Eve? Want to invest in a nice supper?
Yeah, of course. Like, why wouldn't
you wanna
I?
Go, you want to go out and have one?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I want to go pay for a really nice dinner.
Oh, what's wrong with it? Like, but get a nice bottle of wine or good champagne, good cut of beef, and prepare it together at home. Sit down, relax, enjoy it at your time, at your schedule, your
at my leisure. Yes,
at
exactly.
Leisure.
Well, and so that's the other thing too. Is it's like, again, college football's on. So theoretically, if you want to just say we don't have to go more than a day without football over the next 2 weeks since last Thursday up until next Sunday. You don't have to go more than a day without football because New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, there's college football playoff, even though there's no NFL games. And then Thursday night football will happen. And then you have Saturday NFL games that got flexed. And then Sunday. Like, it's until week 18 of the NFL season. You from week 16 to week 18, you don't have to go more than a day without football. It's insanity.
It's my kind of insanity.
Just inject it directly into my bloodstream. Like, I want all of it, but it's kind of,
well, considering the radioactive waves that are carried by Wi-Fi signals and other such, it is basically in all of our bloodstreams at this point.
Oh yeah, I mean, football is in my blood.
Let me offer up a random, it's a warm take. It's teetering on a hot take.
Okay.
My favorite month of sports now. What's your favorite month out of the 12 calendar months? What is your favorite month of sports?
Generally, it's October.
It should be October. That should be the correct answer.
Yeah, because it's the start of the NBA and NHL seasons. NFL season is 4 weeks in. Yep. College football is well into its season. So, yeah, generally October.
World Series.
And World Series. Duh. Yep. I completely forgot about that.
However, my favorite month of the year for sports is now January. And the reason being, because it wouldn't have been as much 5, 6, 7, 10, 12 years ago during the heyday of Boston sports dominating the national landscape, all the parades, the duck boats, and especially the Brady Belichick era. You know, September, October, November, December, all those months were to be cherished and celebrated.
Sure.
But it is now January, Shine. And it is because, sure, we work in sports media, so we have a slightly different perspective than a lot of people. But what I love most is not having to work on, report on, and be consumed by the football landscape, and especially the Patriots. And now that they are non-participants in the postseason, I love January so much because I don't work at the stadium. We don't have to do post-game shows for three and a half hours with people yelling and screaming about the play calling.
And you just get
and
to
the
enjoy
coaching.
Football.
I just get to revert back for a month to being a football fan. So
yeah, but there's
I build
not
my whole week around getting excited for, like, Bengals-Chargers or Packers-Buccaneers, and I live for it, and it is such a joy again.
I get that. I understand where you're coming from, but at the same time, I look at it and go, quantity over quality, there's not enough football. Like, I would rather, like, because we're in the playoffs already in January, you only get those, you know, three or four games in a weekend. Whereas, like, dude, give me Panthers Cardinals again. Like, give it to me. Just send it right down my gullet. I just need it. I need to devour it like a Chinese buffet. I want it so bad. And I don't care. And, like, it's just, I think that's why, like, I love this month that we're currently in. Yeah, we are in the we are grinding in terms of work because we've been doing it now for a month. It's the end of the season. Like, everything's kind of coming to that culmination point. But, like, it's just, I get football every other day. I'm just hyped. I feel like a kid that's just hyped up on Mountain Dew and candy again and just, like, ripping video games 24/7 for an entire week because I'm on school vacation because there's just so much football. And it's amazing. I feel so good all the time. It's such a dopamine rush.
It hits on all the levels.
It really does.
It's amazing. I hope Netflix, they're not duty-bound to do as much, I don't believe, but I hope Netflix reveals their ratings on Christmas Day.
I do too.
And then for all the money they paid for those two games tomorrow, I hope they flex all over everybody.
They should.
And just say, like, you know what? Money well spent. Look at how many people had their eyes. You know, like, Netflix needs new subscribers. They'll get them. Their numbers will be massive. They'll set incredible ad rates as well. Even if it's an initial loss leader, it's going to be a massive gain for them.
Before we get to trending, let's get a couple calls in here quick. Chris in Maine wants to talk about streaming. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys, great topic. And, you know, it is, you know, it's awesome to have all this accessibility. But one thing I hate is, you know, depending on who, like, I'm in group texts a lot, you know, with, you know, about games and everything. And you'll get someone will see a play and 30 seconds later you see it. That's one thing I hate about it.
Okay.
You know, is the whole
great
delay.
Point, Chris.
I think that's totally fair. Thanks so much for the call, Chris. Merry
we
Christmas.
We used to all be on the same timeline,
yeah.
Sean. That's
well,
true.
So that's not true. There were multiple times where my buddy's TV would be ahead of my TV. And, like, it was just, like, a cable box thing, cable provider thing. And it was, generally, it was, like, it was 30 seconds. And it was the same all the time. Now, because of streaming and buffering and loading processes and stuff like that, because of internet, like, people's times are different, sure. But, I don't know. Like, it's, okay, if that's the only critique you have, I mean, they're doing that. That's okay. If it's a 10 or 15 second difference, you can't be the first one to tweet about it, then I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Netflix should talk to FanDuel.
Yeah, no spoilers.
You know how FanDuel, you can watch live events, like if you're betting
on
them and
FanDuel
stuff?
Yeah, FanDuel TV.
They have to be perfect with that whole thing because, say, you make a bet and you're watching the game live and, say, it gets delayed somehow. You can theoretically know what happens before it happens if they have a problem, you know what I mean? And then bet on it.
Yeah, so that's why, not always, but, like, generally, they're on top of that stuff. Like, they'll just, if they fear, like, anything like that'll happen, they will just, like, close the bet and not allow you to bet on it. A lot of stuff, like, especially the live bets are super finicky, so you have to be kind of on top of it and get it in plenty ahead of time. Let's go to Mike in Framingham. What's up, Mike?
Hey, quick thing. I found that NILs, there's no limit. So remember the beginning of the NFL had revenue sharing? If there's no revenue sharing with NIL, some New York team could be like the New York Yankees.
Yep, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the call, Mike. I mean, look at what Michigan just did. They had like two of their biggest alumni or richest alumni literally just throw $10 million at the number one prospect.
That's right. They were able to lure him away.
Portnoy and Ellison, or yeah, not Ellison,
gonna,
Ellison's you're just wife
gonna
know, or whatever.
It's going to keep happening all the time.
Yeah. It's just yeah, exactly. Rich people who are alumni of certain schools and are diehard football fans like your Michigan fans or Texas or, you know, Clemson or Florida State or whoever, LSU, doesn't matter. Their famous rich alumni are going to be like, oh, yeah. For the school to be good at football? Yeah, I'll throw $10 million at a prospect for you. Sure, why not?
And you know what? Here's the thing about like NILs and the way the college football landscape has transformed. Guess what? Everything that's happening now in college football, folks, has been happening for decades. It used to just happen in the form of adult entertainers, cash in the back of a Cadillac, secret offshore accounts, etc. Now it's just all transparent right out there in broad daylight for everyone to see. So it's really not that it's changed the landscape. So I can't believe they're
Reggie
paying
Bush lost
now.
His Heisman because of it.
And it's been returned to him, has it?
Yes,
not?
I believe so.
Yes. Okay, good. Because that's
100%. He deserves
that was an absolute atrocity.
Yeah, it was stupid. But like that's what we're talking about. Like he lost the Heisman because he was getting this money and now it's just legal to get that money. It's crazy. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in on any of the leads this morning, the New England Patriots, whatever you want to talk about, we're here to talk about it with you. It's Scheim and Fitzy filling in for the Greg Hill Show, and now it's time to get you caught up with what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Fine Mass Money. Monday Night Football saw the Green Bay Packers shut out the Saints 34-0 and lock up their spot in the playoffs. It's the fifth time in 6 years that Matt LaFleur has locked up a playoff spot. Celtics fell to the Magic 108-104 last night in Orlando. Jaylen Brown led the way for the Seas with 35 points. The Bruins beat the Capitals after a miserable second period. The Bees came out and they were buzzing in the third. They had a three-goal third period to beat the Capitals 4-1. They'll get a few days off now until Friday when they head to Columbus to take on the Blue Jackets.
Scheim, how do we feel about the fact that on Christmas Eve, Bruins gave a gift to their fans, pulling out a W when it was least expected, and the Celtics lost one that I'm just going to say, honestly, doesn't have me concerned for the team's long-term success, but was a bit of a head scratcher.
I think the Celtics are kind of in like get me to April mode. I think like they lost a couple games early in the season. They're like, all right, we're not going to get the wins record. So like, let's just get to the playoffs. Like who cares? Like it just doesn't, I don't think it really matters to them. They're just, I think right now they're just kind of coasting.
Yeah. Their record right now is, so their record last year on Christmas Eve was 22-6. Their record this year on Christmas Eve, 22-7.
Yeah, exactly. It's basically the exact same as last year. Wire to wire, they're going to be the best team in basketball again. I mean, they allowed 17 points to a man by the name of Trevelyan Queen. I've never heard of him in my life. I mean, the Magic are without, like, their four best players, because I'm pretty sure neither Wagner brother played. Paolo Banchero's out. So, like, they are hurting on the injury front. And I think the Celtics kind of just played down to their opponents. And Jason Tatum didn't play in the game as well. So it's not like, you know, it is what it is. But the Celtics will bounce back. I have the utmost faith in that team and Joe Mazzulla, who's somebody we may get to a little later on in a different segment as well. Little tease for you. The Texans claimed Deontay Johnson off of waivers following the Tank Dell injury. Dislocated knee and torn ACL is the report for Tank Dell. For a guy who got shot in the offseason, like, what else does this guy have to go through?
And broke his leg to end his rookie season as well. This kid is such a talent. When he's healthy, when he's right, he's one of the most dangerous offensive players in the NFL.
But
he is just so injury prone. It's a shame.
It's brutal. Speaking of Texans, are the Chiefs just like back? They went like 6 months with being terrible and still winning football games, and now like, are they just, like, good now again?
Like the Celtics, like, they don't, like, they've won all these games. They probably would have been happy losing two or three more of these games along the way, so long as they got the number one seed. But it didn't even matter last year. Look, they went on the road against a then superior team, or so we thought, in the Baltimore Ravens, and still pulled that horseshoe out of their rear end and went to a Super Bowl, and then won a game, another game that they weren't supposed to win.
Oh boy,
playoffs
are going to infuriate me. I can already.
Folks, you're going to have to start. Get a Ravens jersey. Tell a friend in the Bills Mafia you're pulling for him, because if you don't want to see Mahomes get his fourth and have the Chiefs be the team that gets three Super Bowls in a row, not Brady and Belichick's Patriots, then you're going to need a hero to rise up from the ashes of the AFC and take down the Chiefs.
Well, speaking of a jersey, I'm in my fantasy football finals.
God bless you. How anyone got there this year on purpose, I have no idea.
I did it my way, too, Fitzy, because my starting quarterback for the last 7 or 8 weeks has been Drake May. I have not wavered. He is my guy. He's going to take me to the fantasy finals, and he's going to win it for me. Now, the question I have for you, do I buy a jersey of the player that pops off the most in the fantasy finals if I win, or do I just donate it to that player's charity?
The latter.
Okay, we'll do. Lastly, the Red Sox signed Walker Buehler yesterday to a one-year, $21 million contract.
Love that deal.
Yeah.
I absolutely love. I still think the Red Sox are a power right-handed outfield bat away from getting where we all want them to go. But the Walker Buehler deal, buying in on his high side after the second TJ surgery. Listen, anyone who strikes out Alex Verdugo in Yankee Stadium to win the World Series has a place in my dugout and on my team's rotation.
Yeah, we'll get to the Walker Buehler acquisition a little bit later as well. That Trending Now was brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. Don't go anywhere. There are more Shyman Fitzy filling in for the Greg Hill Show.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Greg Hill Show here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Shime and Fitzy in this morning for the crew. Happy Christmas Eve to all who will be celebrating today. But right now, Jackson, I believe it's time that we get to this.
And I didn't have that queued up. I'm sorry. We will get to that in 2 seconds.
Perfect.
It's okay, Jackson. No worries. It's Christmas Eve. Everybody's happy.
Sorry, I was just basking in the glow of Rob Halford singing Deck the Halls.
It's okay. Let's try this one more time. All right, ready? 3, 2, 1.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
Well, Fitzy, on this very program, we do a segment called They Said It, where we play a couple audio clips from the day before in sports and get a bit of reaction to them. So the first one this morning, Ian Rappaport had an updated report on Gerard Mayo's status within the New England Patriots organization and what the Crafts want for him in the future, if they want him to even have a future. Here was Rap Sheet.
Robert and Jonathan Kraft, my understanding is they want Gerard Mayo to come back for a second season. They believe in Gerard Mayo. This was the handpicked leader of their organization to succeed Bill Belichick. Actually, so much so that they handpicked him to be the successor before Belichick's tenure was even done, a year before. Remember, he played for them, too. There's a lot of love for Gerard Mayo in the building. The Patriots and Robert Kraft, Jonathan Kraft specifically, also knew this would be a multi-year process, knew that this year, just personnel-wise, would be tough. That said, as you sometimes see this time of year, there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on the way that they finish. If it all comes crashing down, if they really collapse, maybe somehow they think differently. The Patriots got a good result this past Sunday, taking the Bills right to the brink. You would think that specifically would show that Gerard Mayo has absolutely kept the attention of his players.
So I ask you, Nick Fitzy Stevens, was the Buffalo Bills game enough for Gerard Mayo to keep his job this season?
Believe it or not, the answer is yes.
Interesting. Okay, yes. Explain.
Because they came out urgent. They started prepared. They actually had energy and game script coming out of the tunnel. That did not look like a team that was ill-prepared for the moment. That did not look like a team that had quit on their coach. They did not start that game off in Buffalo as 14.5-point underdogs in 9-degree temperatures in a game where people thought it would be 35-0 at the half, the other team. They did not represent everything that we have said or believed to be bad about them over the last several weeks in the first half. And I think what you're going to see is that while, yes, they were not able to make the appropriate second half adjustments, and they also coached more conservatively, I had begged them to please coach aggressively, coach to win. Stop with this coaching not to lose nonsense that they'd been doing for the last several weeks or months even. I think you'll see ownership say, look, they obviously can get these guys tuned up and ready to rock. We just now need to either bring in another great football mind or two, or more importantly, the talent to back up the game plans that they're trying to execute. So, yes, I do. Honestly, it may not be what you want to hear, New England. It may not be what you love, Scheim. I'm just telling you right now that you will see at least Gerard Mayo come back. I can't guarantee all the coordinators are coming back. I'd probably say it's more probable than not, but yes, Mayo's return.
They came out looking like a team that was playing for their coach being on the hot seat. I feel like they knew he was on the hot seat, and they knew they had to step it up to keep him around.
So I don't even know that it was the players, but it felt more like the coaches felt like they were on the hot seat with the fake punt and the going forward on fourth down stuff. Like, it felt to me like they were coaching scared, finally. Like, it took them 16 weeks to finally do it when they should have been doing this weeks ago. Like, you might have won a couple more football games. Not a lot, but you might have won one or two more football games if you had been a little bit more aggressive at other times. Like, there were opportunities to be more aggressive. You chose not to. You chose to be overly conservative all of the time. And because of that, it resulted in probably one or two losses that you could have turned into wins. And I think, I'm curious, Fitzy, do you think that ownership said something to them after we saw, you know, the whole Jonathan Kraft in the box thing in the Arizona game, saying the offense stinks or the play calling stinks, whatever it was, and then this week coming out with the urgency? Do you think Robert and Jonathan said something to Gerard about having to come out with urgency this week?
Is it just you and me, just between us?
Yeah,
I do. Yeah.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think, I mean, you can't have seen Jonathan's histrionics in the owner's box or the luxury suite in Arizona last week, going off saying, like, Dad, they stink. Like, look at this play calling. It's terrible. What are we doing? And then see them being more aggressive next week. I 100% believe in the Mayo and ownership tete-a-tete they have every week.
Yep.
That they told them, like, guy, you got to stop this. Because also, Scheim, why, after being told that Alex Van Pelt was protecting Drake May from this offensive line, basically, and from his own play calling by not having any design runs, did we see three on Sunday?
Yeah.
And then Mayo tried to bury it with, we thought that was, that was down and distance. That was in the best interest of the football team. Come on. That's Gerard. Take it from somebody who has spent far too much time over the past two decades of his life trafficking in what people in Patriots Nation and New England at large have to say about their football team and what they want. They just want consistency of message. Like, playing the emotional leapfrog and hopping. It's like he does like analytical Dance Dance Revolution. Like, he's on one, he's like here, he's there, he's over here, he's over, he's back here. Like, no, stay in one spot and just say, this is how we coach. This is what kind of football team we are. This is what we're doing.
I couldn't agree more. All right, let's go to the next one here, Jackson. Yesterday, Drake May was on with Andy Hart and Christian Arcand here, the WEEI afternoon program. Sunday following the Bills game. I keep thinking it was Saturday. It was Sunday. Scheim, figure it out.
Today feels like Wednesday to me, so I'm all screwed up.
It's a total mess, Jackson, but it's okay.
Get all that football rot in your brains.
On Sunday, following the loss to the Bills, Drake May came out and talked about how he's proud to be a Patriot. Well, Hart asked him to clarify that yesterday on the WEEI afternoon show. Here was Drake May.
I'm just fortunate that you took a chance on me. You know, I'm fortunate to be in this, up here with these guys in this organization. This, what a winning history. I think that's what you want to be around, somebody who expects winning, and that's how I grew up. You know, expecting to win and hate losing. I think everybody can agree with that. And just the fan base, how they embraced me, I appreciate it. And so it's awesome place to play football, and it's a big responsibility playing quarterback here, and I take that with a lot of responsibility.
My guy Drake continues to say all the right things. This kid, I gotta give him a lot of credit. Mm-hmm. His coach should take notes on how he addresses the media.
He's
so
good.
He's so good.
It's a great question. How is Drake May better than any of his coaches, anyone else on the Patriots? How is Drake May, at the age of 22, when his life should just be playing golf with his buddies, buying clothes on the internet, staying up late, drinking Nooners and eating chicken wings 24/7. Why in the world is this kid better at public speaking, expressing himself, and staying on branded message better than anyone else on the Patriots?
And how much better is he than Mac Jones was? Like, that, what night and day? Like, Mac Jones just, like, the, you know, the ahs and the ums and the head nods.
Uninspiring comments.
Yes. It's just, yeah, he's just a breath of fresh air.
It's sure. One of the reasons why I loved him coming out of the draft. He's just like, this is who he is. He wants nothing but to win football games. And you can feel it. Like, you can see it. You can hear it when he talks. He is everything I want in an NFL quarterback. And I am so happy he's my quarterback.
I am a big fan as well. And I got to tell you, last weekend after the Bengals beat the Browns 24-6. By the way, Joe Burrow, currently my favorite player in the NFL, Shime. Seven straight weeks, 250 yards, and three or more touchdown passes.
He just passed Tom Brady's record, right?
Yes, he did.
He's having the best season that a quarterback that isn't going to make the playoffs will ever have in the NFL.
Don't say never. I mean, they beat Denver this week, and they just need Denver to lose to the Chiefs in Week 18, and they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, but if the Colts win both of their games, and they have two easy games, they have the tiebreaker, they may sneak in ahead of them, which sucks. Who would you rather see, the Colts or the Bengals in the playoffs?
Oh, the Bengals all day, because that whatever game they play is going to be a shootout.
It is going to be at least 30 points from each team, correct?
Yeah, if you get the Colts, it's going to be like watching Navy play the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's going to be miserable.
It'll be Nebraska versus Navy.
Yeah, honestly, though, like, in all honesty, the Indianapolis Colts should just go full Navy, right? Like, they should throw the ball 10 times a game and run the ball 50.
Well, if they became the first team this weekend in NFL history to have a running back go for over 200 yards and the quarterback ran for over 70.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what Anthony Richardson's good at. Like, let's just be honest. He has struggled throwing the football, to say the least, at least completing football.
That would be correct.
So what they should just lean into, good run blocking offensive line. Jonathan Taylor is awesome. Anthony Richardson can run a lot. And then just like, and then every once in a while, play action, take a shot down the field. Because the one kind of pass Anthony Richardson is really good at is like 50-yard bombs.
Correct. Slinging it downfield.
Yeah. So like that, I don't understand how they haven't leaned into that more.
And the Spike Man is an offensive play caller too. I don't understand it either. I feel like there's enough talent on the Colts to be, I won't say mildly disruptive, but like not be knocked out of the chat for the next couple of years as well, like between Taylor and Richardson. And I like that nice little trio of receivers, Pierce, Downs, and Pittman as well. Like,
agreed.
They're going to be pretty good for a while to come. I am disappointed in the way the season has gone for the Texans. But when you lose your number two and number three wide receivers to torn ACLs, that these things happen.
Yeah, but even still, like, Stroud just doesn't look good. He doesn't look like he looked like. He looks like an entirely different quarterback.
Why is that this year?
I think in large part...
Did the league adjust to him, Shime?
No, I think in large part it's actually Bobby Slowick's fault. As a guy who rode a lot for Bobby Slowick last year, this year the offense has not been good. First and second down, they are the worst, and I'm not kidding. They are the worst in success rate in the entire NFL on first and second down.
Which is a shocker to me.
Wait, you have CJ bleeping Stroud. All they want to do is run directly into the offensive line on first and second down. And then CJ Stroud has to be a magician and bail them out on third and long, and he's just, like, as good as he is, and it happens a decent amount, like, it's unsustainable. You cannot win football games like that, and that's why they've struggled. They've beat up on a lot of the bad teams, but when you face a good football team, like they're going to get the Ravens this weekend or the Chiefs last weekend, unfortunately, you just can't win football games like that. It just doesn't work. So let's go to our final cut here for They Said It. Aaron Rodgers made his weekly appearance on the Pat McAfee show, and he talked about being involved with the Jets front office. Fitzy maybe in being part of the decision-making for the future. He's not even sure if he's going to play, but here was Aaron Rodgers.
I think it was Rich asked a question about would you be open if they wanted you to come back, and they said they wanted to draft the guy in the first round. I said, yeah, of course. Wouldn't be the first time. I mean, maybe if they gave me a heads up, that would be the first time for that. But I know what it was like to be a first round pick and to be in a room with a Hall of Famer, and I tried to help Jordan as much as possible. And if there's a situation where the new staff came in and wanted me to be there, also wanted to make a pick for the future and pick a quarterback if there was one there they really liked, then yeah, of course. You know, as far as pay cuts, I think I've already proven I'm willing to take a pay cut. I've made a ton of money, and
so
I think
much.
If you look at both Devontae and I's contracts moving forward for next year, there's cap numbers that would need to be worked around if they wanted to bring us both back. But again, there's a lot of things. I think, Pat, you asked, like, how many people in the organization know that? You know, if they watch the interview, there's people that know that. But I haven't been going around telling people any of this stuff. Rich just asked me a question. I answered it. I haven't decided whether or not I want to play moving forward. They haven't decided, or maybe they have, but haven't told me what their plans are.
Yeah, I mean, I actually think he's telling the truth. Like,
sounds like it, yeah.
He is.
It's just that listening to him at this point now, because of everything that he's said for so long, has become a grind.
Yeah, sure, I get that. But, like, I actually kind of think it's not a bad idea. Like, if the Jets ran it back with Rodgers again next year and drafted a young quarterback, that's probably the right way to do it, especially when you look at Jordan Love turned out pretty good. And I think Aaron Rodgers means it when he says, I tried to help Jordan out. Like, as much as he was pissed that they made the pick at the time, I think he likes Jordan Love. I think, as a person, I think he actually kind of likes Jordan Love. Shockingly, I know it's hard to believe that Aaron Rodgers likes anybody other than Devontae Adams or himself.
Or Aaron Rodgers.
But I actually think he kind of likes the way he talks about Jordan Love is generally very glowing. And I think he actually likes Jordan a lot. And so I do believe that he did help him out. And I think, again, like, as much of a douche as he is, and he is the biggest douche canoe on the planet, but, like, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. And to have a young quarterback behind him to learn even for just a year, I think is invaluable. Like, that's important.
If he's willing to truly be as magnanimous as his words on McAfee, then yes.
Well, and I think the key there is when he says it would be the first time if they gave me a heads up about it. And so, like, I think if the Jets came to him, you know, a week before the draft and was like, look, this is how we look. We feel like the draft board is breaking down. We're thinking about taking a quarterback. You cool with him being your backup for a year and you kind of helping him out as you, you know, finish off your career. Like, I think if they came to him and knelt down before him asking him those things, I think he would be more than happy, because, of course, he feels like the Hall of Fame quarterback that's helping the Jets be great into their future, so he can take credit for it later.
But how do you think whatever incoming coach is going to feel about, hey, listen, we want to offer you this job. Here's a 4-year deal, $8 million, $10 million, $12 million a year. You got to ride with Rodgers for the first year.
Well, yeah, that's why they're not going to get the coach they want. That's correct. The big difference. It's like, they're not going to get Mike Vrabel, but they'll get, you know, they'll get another Adam Gase type, where it's like a guy who just really, they'll probably get like Bobby Slowick. They want a guy who really wants a job and is willing to take a job for the New York Jets, because it's a relatively big name. And Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback. And it's like, all right, yeah, like, let's do it. Let's roll. I got this. This is my first chance of getting a head coaching job. Maybe my only chance of getting a head coaching job. Like, let's ride. And that's just kind of how it's going to go. Is my guess. But that'll do it for They Said It this morning here
on
the Greg Hill Show. Yeah, pretty good stuff. And They Said It. We will get to today's news coming up next here on the Greg Hill Show. It's Fitzy and Chime filling in. It's the Greg Hill Show, but the crew is out on Christmas break. It is Chime and Fitzy filling in this morning. We have been crushing it already. We are almost 2 hours in, almost halfway done here on Christmas Eve, Fitzy. It's flown by, and yet we still have more for you. It is now time.
So much to unpack.
So much more to unpack. Right now, it's time to get to the news.
It's time for.
I'm trying to think, where was the last place I was? It's hard to keep track.
The news.
Yeah, you're right. Ireland. That's where it was. How'd you know that?
With your host, Courtney Cox.
Took part in this weird licking contest.
The news is sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in men's sexual health, with 4 locations, including their newest in Woburn, with appointments as early as 7 a.m. Visit northeastmenshealth.com for more.
Like that.
On WEEI.
Well, we're going to start the news this morning, Fitzy, with some transportation issues.
Because I just saw this. What a flipping nightmare.
During the holidays, traveling is always a crazy time. Normally, it's more crazy around Thanksgiving. But, of course, around Christmas time, there's also some crazy traveling stuff. And right now, American Airlines is going through it. A huge system outage has grounded all American Airlines flights. Angry passengers have been left stranded on the runway just one day before Christmas. The American Airlines has issued statements. They're currently experiencing a technical issue with all American Airlines flights. Your safety is our utmost priority. Once this is rectified, we'll have you safely on your way to your destination. Our team is working to get this rectified so that you can be safely on your way to your family. Your continued patience is appreciated. We apologize to our customers for the inconvenience.
That's my least favorite thing. Whenever I hear a public address system, like when they say, like, we appreciate your continued, like, how do you know I'm being patient? I have no other option but to be patient, or at least not be that person that's so disruptive you ruin everyone's holiday. Shime, there is nothing worse. I think one of the, like, I hate the fact that people have been disruptive midair at 35,000 feet, unruly passengers needing to be bound and restrained with electrical tape, people trying to open doors. It's
brutal.
Quite honestly, like, alarming and also terrifying at times. That said, some of these FAA rules about, like, well, we're actually on the tarmac, so you can't get up and use the bathroom, and no, we can't open the door, or no, we can't go back to the terminal. Like, so wait, you just want me to sit here? Are you going to provide adult diapers, free snacks, drinks? Like, no, nothing. Like, well, we're having a system outage. People get so screwed by these unfortunate airlines. It's just brutal. And to think that you have to spend your Christmas Eve in a terminal with other angry people that all smell, that are just hopped up on, like, you know, $19 Bud Lights in the terminal, it is going to be chaos. I feel so badly. This is why I don't fly for the holidays.
Yeah, I flew around Thanksgiving, and it was great because I went to London, and nobody goes to England on Thanksgiving because...
You reverse commuted.
Yes,
was brilliant.
It was perfect. It was so smart. It's like living... And Fitzy, as someone who grew up on the South Shore, you know this. It's like, it's the best thing about living on the South Shore is that generally when people are going down the Cape, I'm going in the opposite direction. And when people are coming home from the Cape, I'm going back to Rockland. So it's like, oh, nice. It was great. I never had to worry about Cape traffic because you idiots commute on the opposite schedule as me. And so it was wonderful. But in this case, like, this is awful for anyone who's flying American. Brutal. I feel so bad.
One of my claims to fame is I one time made an entire peanut butter and jelly sandwich while sitting in traffic at the Sagamore Bridge.
Okay.
Wait, that actually happened?
That actually happened, yes.
Yeah, so you opened a loaf of bread,
yes,
and made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich,
yes,
sitting in traffic.
I was stopped long enough to construct a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I don't know whether to be impressed or distressed.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
I think I'm going to be a little bit of both.
A little bit from column A, a little bit from column B.
Yeah, the resourcefulness, that's great. He provided for himself in a time of need. And at the same time, Jackson, how were you able to access all of those elements and or including whatever you used
to
spread the peanut butter?
Yeah, so I worked at a radio station down there, and it was a long drive, and I didn't make a lot of money, so I scrounged, you know, I brought some white bread and some jar of peanut butter and jar of jelly, plastic knife, and bada bing, bada boom.
Okay. You know what? Respect. That's how you do it. You got to get it done one way or another.
You got to do the hustle.
Man's got to eat. Fitzy, let's go to your actually hometown of Braintree.
Yes.
As dozens of guests had to be evacuated after a fire broke out at a Braintree hotel. Dozens of guests were forced out into the cold Monday after a fire broke out in the pool area of the Hyatt Place Hotel in Braintree.
I love that hotel.
Yeah, windows in the pool area were blown out Monday afternoon after a fire that forced guests, many in town for the holidays, out of the hotel. The fire chief tells 7 News they don't expect to allow anyone to stay at the hotel for at least a week. So anybody that was there has to go
crushing.
Figure it out. Insane.
So many people because that's directly across from the South Shore Plaza.
Yep.
Right near a bunch of restaurants as well, near the movie theater.
Yeah.
And also conveniently located right around the corner from the Logan Express bus parking lot as well. So that's a high volume area. A lot of people that come in town that don't want to pay Boston hotel prices, but don't mind the convenient schlep down 93 to the South Shore. Stay there. That's a very, very, very heavily trafficked area. Also right down the hill from our friends at Widowmaker Brewing.
Ooh, nice. Yes.
The locations in Braintree and Brighton.
Yes.
That's a killer, man. That's another one of those unfortunate holiday inconveniences.
So sad.
It's going to be a thorn in people's.
Now you
got to
go stay with family or somehow find another hotel that has availability.
The whole point was I stayed there. I like their breakfast. The Hyatt Place has a delicious breakfast.
It's super close to Boston. It's super close to the rest of the South Shore. Like, it's right in the middle. It's the perfect spot.
And they have a swimming pool and a hot tub, and you don't have to deal with your in-laws. Now you have to go stay at their house because there's a fire at the pool? That sucks.
Yeah, the investigation into the cause of the fire was centered around the pool area. Officials say it could be days before the hotel's electrical system is fixed and guests can return to stay the night. We can actually hear reaction from one guest, Alex Westhoff, on WHDH.
Well, the fire alarm woke me up. I was sound asleep and heard a loud beeping and, thought it might be a false alarm at first, but started seeing everyone come out, so I had to head out myself.
That sucks, too. Like, normally you hear the fire alarm and you're just so accustomed to fire alarms generally being like tests. And mm-hmm. It's like, oh, yeah, everybody's got to evacuate and then go back inside and then come to find out, nope, there was an actual fire. Like, now you need to get your stuff and get the hell out of here.
Yeah, not only do you have to go stand outside in the cold, being pulled out of a deep sleep, but also you need to pack up and leave now.
That happened to me one time.
No refund.
That happened to me one time at Bridgewater State. When I was at school there, we had a fire alarm and I had to stand outside. It was the middle of like January and I had to stand outside in the frigid cold. And I'm like, I am in shorts and a sweatshirt because I just jumped out of bed and I am freezing my toes off.
Those parts.
Yeah, it was tough. We'll continue with the news coming up here. Fitzy and Chime filling in for the Greg Hill Show right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.